John's Gospel, chapter 1. Again, for those of you who have been attending, you know that we have been looking at different verses in John 1. If you're here tonight visiting or here for the first time, well then, as has been said, we give you that extra welcome. But we would still like to see you come back again. You'll be welcome every night. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse number 35. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That's a repetition of what we saw last night. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," or which is to say, being interpreted, "Master," or "Teacher, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. Down to verse number 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus from Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Turn back to a connecting verse, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. This thought has been coming up right from the start of the meeting. I think it was in probably all of the hymns that we sung even at the beginning. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. It's Jesus speaking. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we give thanks that we are here again to listen to the gospel that has already gone forth. We give thanks that we are allowed to be here and to preach the gospel, to share in it together of the grace of God and the news of the gospel through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for much help and liberty in the Spirit of God in these remaining moments, that we might give out a clear sound and a clear message and a clear explanation of the gospel of the grace of God through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Help us in these few minutes, we do pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were studying the writings of the Apostle John, that's not the John we spoke about last night, that's not John the Baptist, John with the pointing finger, that's John that did the writing of this book. If you were studying the writings of the Apostle John, you would find that one of the things that the Holy Spirit directs him to do, and we'll find this again, is to say important things twice. That's not just repetition, nor is it what Jesus himself called empty repetition. It is that the Spirit of God in John's writings particularly wanted certain things emphasized, and so John in his writings put them down twice. Last night, and in actual fact in the story it was the day before, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the next day, and we're in the next day here today as well, John was standing in the same place, and this time he's not in public, he's not in the crowd, he's just standing with two of his disciples. And Jesus again is passing by in the crowd, and this time it's not with the loud voice and the pointing finger. This time he's just talking to two of his disciples. He says, "There he is again. Behold, the Lamb of God." Twice John Baptist, has pointed others to Jesus. What happened? Those two men left John. I don't know how John felt about it at the start. We are told later about some of the disappointments that John went through. The more people he pointed to Jesus, the more disciples left him and followed Jesus. That wasn't easy to accept, sure it wasn't. But he was happy to point people away from himself to Christ. We should never be attracting people to ourselves. We should always be pointing people to Jesus Christ. John did that. Right here in the passage. These two disciples to whom he said, look again, the Lamb of God. They just left John. And they went after Jesus. And Jesus saw them coming after him. And he said to them, what is it you're seeking? What is it you're looking for? And they said, teacher, master. They weren't absolutely certain at that point in time who he was. Teacher, master, where are you staying? They wanted further conversation. They wanted further communication. They wanted to have a conversation and a chat with this person that John said, this strange title. I suppose they wanted to ask him about it. To sit down with the person that John had said was the Lamb of God and ask him. We have heard twice. This title given to you, what's it about and what does it mean? Where do you stay? Where do you abide? We want to be in your companionship. We want to be in your company. We want to sit at your feet. We want to listen to you. Isn't that lovely? Jesus said to them, come and see. You know, before we get to the end of the chapter, we see something else. We see another man. We skipped a little bit because Jesus actually called him personally. His name was Philip, and Philip also followed Jesus. And no sooner had Philip begun to follow Jesus than Philip went and found his friend. This time it's not John. This time it's not Jesus calling. This time it's Philip, and he goes to his friend's house. And his friend is probably sitting reading the Old Testament scriptures under his tree in the garden early in the morning. And Philip says to him, sorry for interrupting you. Come with me at once because we found the Messiah. He's come from Nazareth. You've got to come and find him. Come and see. And there's another little repetition that we have in our passage, in our message this evening, because when these two disciples, when they found Jesus and asked him to give them more information about himself, he said, come and see. And Nathanael was doubting that the person that Philip was speaking about could actually be Messiah. Mind you, Nathanael was right to doubt. Nathanael said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? I've heard so often people criticizing Nathanael for saying that and saying he was doubting. He wasn't. He was absolutely correct. Not only had Nazareth a very poor reputation, but nothing good could have come from Nazareth or any other town. And Philip actually got the genealogy of Jesus wrong, whether by accident or not, because he said, we have found him who is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. If Jesus from Nazareth had been the son of Joseph, he never could have been the Savior. He was the son of Mary, but he never was the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. That's what made the difference. And when Nathanael was told that he was Jesus from Nazareth, Nathanael questioned in his heart, if he is only of human genealogy, can he be the person that we are looking for? Philip said to him, you'll have to find out for yourself. Come and see. We're here this evening in this little hall in Vaughan Road in Kamloops. And some of you are listening out there on the media, and we're glad of that, and we'd love to see the numbers both outside and inside increasing. And what we are saying this evening and every evening, if we're spared in nights to come, in relation to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Come and see. It's as simple as that.
The gospel is not complicated. And pity the preacher who makes it complicated. The gospel is simple. It is God loves the sinner but hates his sin. God loves the sinner so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior, to die for our sins. And God is holding out the arms of invitation tonight in the gospel. And he says, come and see. Come and find my Son. Come to him and find peace. Come to him and find mercy. Come to him and find comfort. Come to him and find forgiveness. Come to him and find your burden lifted. Come to him and find forgiveness for your sins. Come and see. I've preached the gospel on 3 of the continents of this world. I've preached on every different kind of construction of building that you could imagine, and maybe some that you wouldn't imagine. I've never preached anywhere that it says come and see outside the door except here. It's right over the door of this little building that we're preaching in tonight. And the people that rebuilt this hall in years gone by, and they had a decision to make about what to put outside. And what did they put on the door? They put, come and see. Come and see the brethren? No. Come and see the decoration? No. Come and see the colour of the walls and the colour of the seats? No. Come and see the preachers? God forbid. The come and see outside is just taken right from this passage. Come and see the Savior. Come and see Jesus Christ. Come and meet the only person that can meet your need. Come and see the one that we read about, that he spoke of himself in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11 and verse number 28. What did he say there? It's not Philip speaking. It's not somebody else speaking. It's not even come and stay with him for an evening and have a conversation. No, Matthew 11 is slightly different. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 11 verse number 28, I think I can see in there the invitation of Jesus Christ. What does he say? He says, come to me. Isn't that nice? Who is it that he wants to come? If I was putting a title over the second part of that verse, I would say an indication of concern. Everyone who is weary and everyone who is burdened. The words actually mean in there, in their original language, they mean people who are worn out and people who are overloaded. That's mental. That's spiritual. That's not physical, that's inside. To be worn out and to be overloaded at the point of not being able to go any further. What am I speaking of? I'm speaking of the burden of sin. There are so many people in this city, there are so many people in my hometown, there are so many people in our world today, and they put on a good front. They don't want to pretend. They don't want to ask. They don't want to speak to their neighbours and friends at work and say, do you not think the world is getting crazier by the day and we should be concerned about the future? Because it is. Do you not think that we're getting older by the day and we've no guarantee of old age? We could slip over to the other side and be an eternity before tomorrow, because you could. And Jesus spoke about people who were worn out. All kinds of difficulties of the mind are massively on the increase in our world today. I think it's a sign of the times. That people are burdened and alarmed and worried and concerned about everything that is going on around them. Where do you find peace? Where do you find hope? Where do you find comfort? Ultimately, in the person of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that brings satisfaction and comfort and hope to the soul of an individual than the burden of sin being lifted and the assurance of heaven and home and happiness with Jesus Christ forever at the end of life's journey. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Come unto me, every single one who is worn out and overloaded. Can you get the picture? I remember the first time that I went to Africa. That's 20 years ago. I remember the first time that we travelled away up into the northwest of the rural part of Zambia on the dirt roads, long past the blacktop. And we pulled in to buy some supplies. I think it was sugar. One of those old places, they used to call them go-downs in days gone by. I was never sure where that name came from. A kind of a ramshackle place built out of tin, and you could buy everything from a bottle of warm Coca-Cola right through to, I don't know, a 100 weight of flour. Great big heavy bags. And we stopped there to buy some supplies. I think it was sugar for the mission station. 20 kg bags or whatever. And while we were there in our two pickup trucks, you could almost feel the rumbling of the ground on the dirt road. And then you could hear an engine coming round the corner, and the engine was really struggling. And then round the corner came an old Mercedes truck. It was my first visit to Africa, so I wasn't used to the kind of things that were coming round the corner. First of all, it didn't have any windshield. It didn't have any wipers. It didn't have any headlights. It just had holes where the headlights used to be. And the load on the back of it was probably about a meter wider on each side than the body of the truck. And the tailboard was down, and the load continued across the tailboard and out over the back. And if the old truck was supposed to carry about 12 or 14 ton, I was quite sure there was about 30 on it. The back axle was breaking and the chassis was nearly bent in two. I had never in my life seen anything as worn and as overloaded, both things at once. And it stopped with a groan right beside where I was standing. And I remember looking at it and thinking, isn't that a lovely illustration for a Sunday school message? Something that is almost at the very end of being able to move because of being worn out and overloaded. Jesus said, if you are like that in relation to the burden of your sin, come to me. It's as simple as that, you know. We prop up our grandchildren. Well, we've done it twice in our house, and we're just at the stage of doing it the third time. My wife's a wee bit worried that it'll happen while we're here. She'll only see it on the phone and she'll not see it in reality. You prop up the grandchild, you know, against the chair. You get them stabilised, and then you reverse back across the room to the other chair. And then you hold out both arms. Most of you have done it, don't you? And it's the grandparents that love it best. And then you say one word. You see, the gesture, it speaks for itself. And you don't say it loudly and you don't say it harshly. You say it as softly as possible. And you convey as much confidence as you can. Come. Doesn't happen the first time. Maybe the next time it's a trip and a fall. But eventually the child takes a step. And then they're in the arms of the person where they're safest, right in the arms of their mother or their grandmother. All it takes is one step. But they have to be obedient to the call. They have to come. Can I tell you this evening, as simple as I could make it and as soft from my heart, that's the reality of the gospel. And the person that's calling tonight by the Spirit of God is Jesus Christ. And he's holding out arms and hands that still carry the nail wounds of his cross. And he's saying to sinners tonight in the gospel, come to me. Come to me and I'll take away your burden. Come to me and I'll take away your load. Come to me and you'll find forgiveness. Come to me and you'll find safety. Come to me and you'll find happiness. Come to me and you'll be joined to me, not just for time, forever. What did we read? Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If I was looking for a title for that piece, I would call it The Illustration of the Carpenter. I come from Ireland. I grew up in a fairly rural area. I've travelled in places where they still use donkeys and oxen for all kinds of things. Maybe here in this part of the world you don't see that anymore. And so when the Bible speaks about a yoke, maybe some of you aren't even too sure what a yoke is. Back in those days, in Jesus' time, if he worked in the carpenter shop with Joseph, and he probably did, he would have made a yoke. Something that would either take one animal's shoulder and join it to the shaft to pull the plough or whatever. Sometimes even to take two animals and join their shoulders together to pull a heavy implement. Sometimes a poor farmer would come in and he would say, I've got a bullock and I've got a donkey, but I need a yoke to join them both together because I don't have two bullocks and don't have two donkeys. That wouldn't have been easy, sure it wouldn't. Mismatched animals and mismatched shoulders and mismatched steps, and yet they had to try and work in harmony. I'll tell you this. If it was Jesus of Nazareth he came to behind the bench, the one who made the yoke was the one who made the animal. Nobody ever had to bring a yoke back to him and say, shave a little piece of that corner, or reshape that because it's raised a callus on the shoulder of my bullock. If he did make real yokes, they were perfect. And those people that were listening to him preaching, they knew his background, they knew who he was. He said, come to me. Everyone who's worn, everyone who is dragging a heavy load, come to me. I'll take away your burden and I'll give you rest. You can be joined to me instead. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said to those disciples who were following him to find out more, come and see. Philip said to Nathanael, who wasn't sure whether to believe or not, come and see. Jesus himself says to you tonight, oh listen, come to me. Everyone who's laboring, it's not about the face, it's about the heart. Everyone who's worn out and everyone who's overloaded, come to me. It's his promise. I will give you rest.